Great to have my guest this morning. Judge Sarah Smith is joining us. She's a candidate for the 5th District Appellate Court. Sarah, morning. How are you, ma'am?
Good morning. Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me.
I want to start first with your story going back to about the time you graduated, Millikan University, right?
Well, when I graduated high school, are you talking about my enlistment in the military?
Well, I was talking about your undergraduate degree. Well, where do you want to start with your story? Where do you think it's relevant to being?
I think because my military is such a very important to me, serving 25 years. After I graduated high school, I enlisted in the military, and that's what helped me pay for my degree at Millikan.
Oh, that's good. I didn't see that. Yeah. Some of the bio work got left out. It shouldn't have been. What branch were you in?
So I'm in the Army. I'm currently in the Army. I'm still serving.
Okay. I'm kind of curious. 5 years on Third Circuit Court?
Yes. Five years so far.
Yeah. I'm curious. We all have these perceptions of judges, and I think TV does a lot to warp that perception as well. What have you learned about human beings while on the bench that only a judge can learn in 5 years on the bench? What have you learned? What lessons?
Definitely every human has a story, and that's why I think, in addition to your experience, you've got to be able to listen to people and listen to their stories, because when they're coming in the courtroom, it's not their most glorious days most of the time, unless we're dealing with adoption. It's because of a heartache, because of a story. There's a specific reason you're there, and I think if you take the time and just listen to their stories, that's the biggest lesson that I've heard, is everybody's dealing with some sort of heartbreaker issue in their life, and we need judges that are able to listen.
So does that play into the judge's ability to apply their discretion, is when you've learned this lesson that you need to ask more than face value questions?
100%. And I think that's where, in addition to your legal background, you need to have some life experiences just to see, what's going on. That's what makes you a good judge.
It's interesting because you listen and, watch the news as I have for as long as I have, and I'm going to appeal this. I think sometimes, the system is built to be inherently adversarial. It is an adversarial system. I hesitate to use the word competition. I don't think that's correct. But you do fight it out to the end.
Oh, absolutely. And fortunately for the appellate court, which is the position I'm running for, it's oftentimes the court of last resort for folks in Illinois because it is so expensive. I mean, folks are spending upwards of $10,000 to take their case, up to on appeal for the appellate court. And sometimes for folks, that's just not possible. So the trial court level is kind of where it stops unless they've got the money, to take it up to the appellate court. You're absolutely right.
I'm going to take it all the way to the Supreme Court. But the scrutiny that is on the system now, I don't think in modern time has ever been as high as is now. Breonna Taylor, the grand jury notification yesterday, that's part of the judicial system, the grand jury inquiry. The system right now is under scrutiny from the police officer of the street that the state's attorney has to deal with all the way to the court. I mean, the system's under a lot of scrutiny. Does it deserve it?
I would say as far as the judicial races, I think they've been heightened just because of everything that's going on, whether it be from COVID and the civil disturbance. And look, I've been in combat. I've seen places where laws were not, there is no law and order. So I wholeheartedly believe there's laws are there for a reason. They are made to be enforced no matter who you are. I don't care if you're a citizen. I don't care if you're a law enforcement officer. Laws are there to be enforced. And as far as the scrutiny goes, you'd always hope that we've got so many systems in place where justice will be served. Unfortunately, sometimes it takes time. And oftentimes media, you get just quick sound bites of what's going on. If you give the court system the time to work itself through, I believe almost in 99% of cases, justice is there for individuals.
You talked about this when just a couple of moments ago, time overseas, because there's one of the reasons why I have you on and your opponent yesterday, and so much time I spend talking about judges, because I feel these are some of the most crucial races we have. Judges don't have terms, so to speak. We've got retention, things along that line. The role that they play goes underestimated in being civilized, that law, its implementation. And I can't help but think, wonder some of the problems we have right now is because maybe we didn't follow through on a couple of occasions. But that role that you play right now, I literally look at it as preserving the civilized world.
Oh, I mean, the reason why our founding fathers had us as the third check on balances on, you know, on our executive branch and on our legislative branch. And being a judge, it's a major responsibility. It's a significant position of power. And that's why I think, you know, we need to really, even though we're the bottom of the ballot, folks really need to be educated on who they are electing, and not just for a label, but really, truly the candidate they're electing for judge.
You know, I struggle with this, and I always have, and my friends who are judges, I've talked to them about this. You know, I was kind of raised, judge not lest you be judged, you know, even though I do a pretty good job of being a hypocrite on that issue, right, and judging things, as many people are. But, you know, it's interesting. If you go from the circuit to the appeals court, you make judgments on cases and lawyers, but in the appeals court, making judgments on other judges.
Correct. And still sometimes, especially in the criminal cases, still sometimes on attorney's conduct, but it is. And you know, I think, as any judge would say, nobody really wants to be overturned, but we have to make sure that the law was properly applied at the circuit at court and the trial court level. And sometimes it's hard because, you know, at the trial court level, you're getting balls and strikes thrown at you at 100 miles an hour, and you're trying to make those calls so quickly. But the good thing is at the appellate court level, we're able to sit back, we're able to read thoroughly the transcript, the law, apply the law at hand, and then kind of, I guess, Monday morning quarterback. We've got a little bit more time to make sure. But, you know, even as judges, we're human, so sometimes we do make mistakes, but it's a very significant responsibility to be checking another jurist's work, that's for sure.
You know, it's interesting because you talked about this with time, and I was talking about with one of the recent Supreme Court justice candidates for the upcoming race. The time in the Brian Burns case in Saline County is a good example. Years before a decision's made, and you talked about the time, and I think there does need to be that time for consideration, but doesn't the judicial system seem a little sluggish to you? I mean, the Supreme Court, Illinois, on that retirement issue, whether it was constitutional, whether they could do this legislation, well, everybody knew it was unconstitutional. All you do is be able to read. But it still took them a couple of years to do that, and all along the system continues to burn. I mean, that time in which it's the luxury that's needed, but at the same time, doesn't there need to be some efficiency?
I think it's, you know, justice delayed, it's justice denied. While we do need to take the time to make sure, you know, we're checking all the boxes, you absolutely are 100% right. It needs to be handled out in an efficient manner and quickly in order for it to be effective. Wholeheartedly agree with that.
And what's interesting is, you know, some people, lawyers delay, and that's a tactic. We get that. But judges also, you come out and you do the work behind the bench, you got the gavel, and boom, but the administration aspect of this, I really didn't begin to understand that until the last couple of years, of how much goes on in a judge's workday when it comes to the administration, the stuff that people don't see.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, not just the law, but also just the minor, making sure dockets run smoothly, especially, you know, here at the circuit level, I'm in charge of the associate judge's dockets along with my colleagues. And we've got to make sure if there's a clog in the system, we got to figure out why it's taking so long for people to get, you know, access to justice and what's going on. So, yes, there's a lot of more, not just legal work, but also administrative work in the whole process.
What toll does this job take on a human being?
It takes a lot. You know, you're dealing with raw stories, as I mentioned, you know, whether it be sentencing someone, whether it be hearing the stories of a juvenile case, whether it be even simple things as deciding what child goes to two wonderful parents. You can get to decision fatigue, I think. Sometimes I come home and I tell my husband, look, you're going to have to decide what we're having for dinner because I've made enough decisions for today.
Right.
So it can also be very rewarding, though. It can be a very rewarding job when you make a difference in people's lives.
And, you know, that is a common denominator I've heard very often. Sure, I am subjected to things that are really horrific, murder trials, and circuit judges see these too. I mean, I've often talked to judges about this, but they often talk about the reward. And I have a hard time putting myself in your shoes. I really do.
Well, it's not an easy job, and I don't think it's for everyone. And that's why, you know, you need to make sure you've got quality judges. And I don't care what side of the aisle they're on. You need quality judges who are willing to take the time and have all, not just the legal experience, but also the personal characteristics that can make themselves a good judge.
And see, here's the thing, Judge Smith, and I hear you talking, but you know, what's interesting is you see something go through the courts and judges having such wildly different opinions while reading the same law book. How can that be?
Well, I don't want to critique my brethren, but sometimes that's when, you know, they let a little bit of the too much of their personal beliefs about the law come in. And, you know, most cases are not new cases, new first impression cases. Most cases, there's been significant precedent on them. And I think, you know, when you've got those wild cases, I think, unfortunately, there may be some politics at play at that. And that's why you've got to make sure we keep, you know, I may not like certain laws, but I'm going to enforce them whether or not I personally believe with them or not, because I'm not the legislators. The legislators are the ones that created them. And so I think in those cases, I think it's because, you know, individuals' personal or political beliefs has maybe come into play.
Right.
And that's where we've got the abuse of discretion standard at the appellate level. Right. You know, if these are so off the wall, did they abuse their discretion in holding them?
How can we rectify it? Sarah Smith's joining us this morning. She's Democratic candidate, 5th District Appellate Court. She is running for the seat that's going to be vacated by Chapman. You'll see her on the November ballot. We've got 30 seconds before we go this morning. Judge Smith, why vote? Why put a check next to your name on the November ballot for the 5th District Appellate Court? Why you?
Thanks, Tom, because, you know, politics has no place in my courtroom. Unfortunately, in Illinois, we have to run as far as a party goes, but I am not a political appointee. I am beholden to no one but the law and the people I serve. And one last shout out, as part of my campaign, I've seen how polarized our country has been, and I just want to try and encourage folks not to let the political polarization at the national level destroy our communities. We've got so much more in common than we do our differences. So just a quick shout out there. So thank you, Tom. Appreciate you having me online.